Thank you for praying for us while I was in North Carolina. I had a good time at the mission conference down there. I appreciate you praying for that. And pray for Pastor Ackham. He's going to be taking his COVID test again on Tuesday. So pray that he doesn't have it, but because he had it before, it's still not letting him pass that test. So pray that he can get past that on Tuesday. We have he's got a couple meetings coming up. This morning, I was reading an email from a missionary friend. It doesn't work with us, but works in that area. And he was talking about the things that he was going through. He had just got back off of furlough, and he got home and he realized four of his five dogs were dead because a cobra attacked them. He was driving into town and had some problems with the four-wheel drive on his vehicle, realized that somebody had put the drive shaft on backwards. He was just talking about all of the problems, and I'm sitting there and I'm reading this thinking, you know, because of being there and living there, you forget what it's like because now I'm on this side. And then he talked about how God, no matter what the circumstances were, that God came in and helped him and helped him to be able to move on. And so we want to make sure that we pray for our missionaries, not only in Africa, but there's missionaries this morning that woke up in China. There's people that are in the Philippines. There's people in Russia. On this last trip, on this mission trip, I met a missionary. He's a missionary to Siberia, probably the last place on the planet I'd want to go. He's talking about, you forget there's people there, and God cares about people, so God actually burdened somebody's heart to move to Siberia. You know, there's missionaries in Greenland, but they're all over the place. You know where they came from? They came from churches like this, you know, sat in pews just like these that are now serving the Lord in other places, and we want to make sure that we pray for them, because sometimes you think, because we say it so often, make sure you pray. But I really, on Miss Josetta said that she really prayed hard this week for me, and I know I appreciate that, and I can feel that, and it does make a difference. Want to make sure we pray for our missionaries, and Lord, just pray that God works in our service today, Brother Ron.
All right, if everybody please stand and get a hymn book and turn to page 374. Brother Deacons, come forth to receive the morning offering. Brother Michael, would you ask blessing on the offering, please?
Oh, I've never sang this song yet. And Cody said, well, you have to sing it a first time. So we'll see how it goes. Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. O ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Are you disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care? Do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus, he will give you rest. Have you by temptation often conquered been? Has a sense of weakness brought distress within? Christ will sanctify you if you claim his best. In the Holy Spirit, he will give you rest. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears did that grace appear. the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secure. Shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending. Amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
Appreciate those songs this morning, and it's just encouraging to me to see the Lord put that stuff together, and especially the song Natalie just sang. It's nice to have Lexi back visiting already. if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'll go to Mark chapter 11, when Lexi moved, Lexi was teaching the little kids. Maggie, what age is that in Lexi's class? What age was in there? Okay, so we'll say babies to 3 or 4 years old. In that Sunday school class, we have a need for a Sunday school teacher. So if that's maybe something that God's laid on your heart, those little kids, they're right underneath my classroom, and you can hear them down there singing the songs and stuff. And you know, if God's put that on your heart, it's an opportunity. And maybe if there's a couple of them, people that would be interested in teaching that age group, maybe we can do a rotation. But if you would let me know or my wife know, that would be great. Mark chapter 6 is where we're going to start off this morning, Mark chapter 6. And as Natalie was singing about that part where she mentioned the chains fell off and that you've been set free, just want you to think about that as we look at the Bible this morning, Mark chapter 6. And then we'll go ahead and let's see, down to verse, let's go ahead and start in verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 6. And let's pray first. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. I just thank you for the opportunity of being in your house this morning. I pray that you would help us. Lord, I just pray that your word would come alive in our hearts. Father, I just ask you, Lord, that as we come before you, that you would forgive us for where we failed you this week, that you would work in our hearts, Lord, that we would be, Lord, able to recognize those areas and let you work. And Lord, I pray that you would do something that I can't do, that you would reach down from heaven and you can touch a human heart, Lord. We live in a world that is sin sick, a world that is going another direction, and we so desperately need to hear from you. And Father, I pray that you would help us this morning. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says this, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many hearing were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. And he called unto them the 12, and began to send them forth 2 by 2, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on 2 coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And I like this story as Jesus was talking about how he tried to do things around his own family, and they could not get out of their mind. They're thinking his brothers are here, you know, his family's here, so that means he's just like us, and he was not. Thankfully that Jesus did not have an earthly father, so he did not. He was born without sin, and they just couldn't separate the two. They were just looking at him through human eyes instead of who he was, which is the Son of God. And then I liked about how he said that he would go out throughout all the villages and he would teach the gospel. You think about Jesus being the creator of the universe, and what he's doing is he's actually going door to door, house to house, village to village, carrying that message. He lived up in heaven with the angels, and he's down here. He's concerned about the need of the people around him, that he's actually taking this journey. He didn't just send other people to do it. He did it. Now, he did send 12 out, but before he sent the 12 out, that's what he was doing. The whole time he was here on this planet, he was out spreading the truth. You would think that people would come to him, but he went to the people. He would take the gospel to them. And then he sends out the 12. And he tells them, you know, he prepares them for the journey. And he says, okay, when you go into a home, if they receive you, let them in. And you stay there as long as you need to. But then he says this, and I heard this verse many times when I was a kid in Sunday school and heard it preached about. He said, but if you go into a house or you go to a door and you tell them about me and they don't want to hear it, or they send you away, here's what he told them to do. He said, knock the dust off your shoes and go on to the next house. And when you think about that, want you to understand something. The moment Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the Bible says that Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundations of the world. God had a plan at that moment. Right then, things began to move. You know, he's going someplace. He's not stuck. He hasn't forgot about us. He has an agenda, and he has a plan. He's on a move. He's not dormant. He's not sitting on his hands in heaven waiting on us. He's moving. And you know what? In that story, he said, if you go to the house and they don't want to hear, here's what you do. You move on, and you go to the next house. And if they don't want to hear it, you move on, and you go to the next house. And he said, those people will be judged by the fact that they didn't take an opportunity for that, but you don't hold that personally. You just move on. And, you know, whether people like it or not, God is definitely going. Aren't you glad that God moved on? You know, what a wonderful thing it must have been for Adam and Eve in that garden to know that God moved on. He could have just harped about that. He could have brought that up every day in their life. But you know what he did? When they sinned in the garden, he had to ask them to leave the garden. He made them leave. But you know, when they went, he went, because he was on the move. He had a plan in his mind already right then how he was going to redeem fallen mankind. And he went out and he said, okay, this happened, but here's what we're going to do next. And he solved their problem. They actually tried to make clothes out of fig leaves. And talking about the other night, that was very impractical because they're just going to get brittle and fall off, and you're going to need more leaves, right? So what did God do? God made them clothes out of animal skin. You know what he's saying? He's saying we're moving on, right? And as he moved on, and Adam and Eve set up their home. And the next thing you find out in the Bible is you come to Noah. You know, the people have started to replenish the earth. Sin began to spread and abound until God looked down and he said it was evil continually. You know what God did? God moved on. You know, he told Noah, you need to build an ark. Because I'm not going to stay here. They can stay here. We're not going to stay here. We're going to move on. Why? Because he knew he had to bring his son into this world in order to pay for the sin. And although men were stuck, he wasn't stuck. He was going to move on. And that's exactly what he did for over 100 years. Noah preached the gospel. Noah told him what was going to happen. They had the opportunity to leave with God, Brother Greg, but they didn't want to. May I tell you something? That didn't hold God back. At the right time, the Bible says that God shut that door to that ark, and it didn't matter. Now listen, human nature would say, once it began to rain, if you saw that ark there, would you not try to go get on it? But it was too late. Because you know why? The second God shut that door, he moved on. Okay? Those people had the opportunity to get on that ark. They're the ones that chose not to do it. And what happened? God moved on. We like to think, yes, God is merciful, God is forgiving, God is gracious, but God's not going to wait forever, amen? You may think you have tomorrow, but you don't have tomorrow if he's moving on. You know, if God speaks to your heart during an invitation and convicts you that you're a sinner and shows you your need to be saved, and you think, well, I can do it next Sunday, and I can do it next Sunday, and I can do it next Sunday. The more you say no, the harder your heart gets. And pretty soon you'll realize God just moved on. Okay? And that's what he was saying here. He was saying, listen, if they don't want to hear me, if they don't want to hear this message, then you don't take it personally. You just go on to the next person. And you go on to the next person because God had a plan that he was doing. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 24, if you would. Matthew chapter 24. And I want you to look at verse 36. Matthew chapter... And let's go on to, let's go on down to verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. And praise the Lord, we can see that now. Amen. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour, talking about the second coming of the Lord, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Just like he moved on during Noah's time, you know, even though it seems like we're at this spot here today, I want you to understand something. God is still moving. God still has a plan. He's going somebody. Do you know where it ultimately ends? It ends with all of us in heaven, those that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's where we're going. And he is going to get there whether you come with him or not. He's going to move on to his home. He's going to come down. He's going to rapture all of his saints. And then the next thing's going to happen. And the next thing's going to happen. It's going to happen in God's time. But understand this. He is going to move on. He is not going to make you do it. He is not going to force you to do it. He's going to give you an opportunity. And the rest is going to be up to you. Not only does that go with eternity, but that goes with every day in our life. I want you to look at another verse, if you would, in John chapter 8. So we know that one day he's going to come back, and he's going to do that in his time. And if you're not ready, you can't say, hey, hold the bus, I'm not ready yet. Remember the 10 virgins, 5 were ready and 5 weren't. You know, God's not going to slow, you know, you're not going to be able to say, wait a minute. You know, hold the rapture back. Don't take everybody. I really wanted to go. At that moment, it's too late. But not only is he moving that way, but every day in our lives, from the moment that you trust Christ as your Savior, he has a plan for your life. And you know what? He's going to move on. Sometimes he'll move on without us. I want you to look at John chapter 8, if you would, in verse 34. John chapter 8. In verse 34, you shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, there ye cannot come. Then said Jesus among themselves, whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, you shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? In the last days, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know, there'll be a, so he was saying that there is a time when I'm available. Then there's also a time where you're going to seek me and you're not going to be able to find me. Do you know, once you get saved, you know, if you miss that opportunity and you put that off, you're in danger of just missing it altogether. But not only that, once he does save, you know the verse that says, when Jesus sets you free, you'll be free indeed? I've read that 100 times. I've read that 100 times. I've looked at that scripture and looked at that scripture and looked at that scripture. And I know the Bible's right. I know the Bible's true. And I know the Bible, that you can claim those promises. But when you look at that verse and it says, when Jesus Christ sets you free, that you are free indeed. And then you have to ask yourself, why do we still have the same problems that we have? Why is it that there are things in our lives that even after we come to the Lord, we still struggle? When the Bible says that if he sets us free, we're free indeed, why is that a problem? Why do I keep tripping over the same obstacle in my life over and over again? Why do I seem to carry my problems from one day to the next day to the next day to the next day? A lot of what you see today is me just carrying baggage over years of time, and I just drag it on to the next day, and then I drag it on to the next day, and I drag it on to the next day. But there's a verse in the Bible that says, when Jesus Christ sets you free, you're free indeed. So the question is, why am I still hauling this around? You know, the reason why is because, yes, he has set me free, and he's moved on. I'm the one that has decided to stay back here with the problem. It doesn't have to be that way. I can move on with him. I can hang on to regret. I can hang on to bitterness. I can hang on to pride. I can make those things my next day and my next day or my next day. Or I can say, wait a minute, Jesus is moving on. He's already forgiven me. In him is the ability and the power to put it in my past. In him is victory. I can stay here if I want to stay here, or I can move on. If Jesus Christ sets you free, then you're free indeed. Is that true or not? Not only does it talk about I am free from the penalty of sin, but it also talks about that I'm not in bondage anymore. Well, you know what? If Christians didn't carry bondage, you would look at a whole different world that we live in today. Our problem is that we're trying to tell them out there that Jesus can do anything and Jesus can take care of these problems and Jesus can help us, but we're still stuck with those problems because we refuse to leave them behind. He's going to move on. He can give the victory. He's not going to make you do it. He's not going to force you to do it. What he's going to say is, listen, my mercies are new every day. Every day, he's going on to the next day. He's going on to the day after that. And he says, you can live in your sin if you want to. You can repeat this tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, or you can go where I'm going. And that's to the Father and get closer to him. You can leave that in your past. When you can look at the different stories in the Bible, you can look at not only after the flood, you come to the next big story, the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. Do you understand? Some of them didn't move on. They got left behind. A whole generation was left behind back then. Why? Because God moved on and they didn't. You know, they eventually made it to the promised land, but not those people. You know, God was going to the promised land all the time, with or without them. By his grace, he gave them 40 years. That whole group of people had to die, but the other ones moved on. Man, it wouldn't that be depressing knowing that you were some of those that were not going to make it into the promised land, and you had to watch one by one as everybody died off, because God said nobody under the age of 20, older than that, was going to, only from that point down, was going to move on. But they had to understand God. You know how depressing that would be to realize God had already moved on. He was going to the land of Canaan, and you couldn't go with him. Why? Because when he wanted to go, you didn't want to go, and he left you behind. Isn't that sad? You know, it was God's will that they all go. But when they didn't want to go and didn't believe him, he said, okay, then you can stay here. We're going to go over there. And I tell you something, that's very sad. You know, it's also sad is to see other people move on, but you can't move on. But you can if you just put it with the Lord and leave it behind. It doesn't have to repeat itself. You don't have to bring yesterday's garbage into today. That's totally up to you. When you go to God and you ask him to forgive you, is he faithful and just to do that? At that moment, you know what he's saying? Let's move on. Let's go to tomorrow and let me do something with tomorrow. Let me help you tomorrow. You don't have to repeat this over and over again in your life, Dave. My mercies are new every morning. He said, in the evening is sorrow, but in the morning is joy. Why? Because he values the fact that you can turn that page in your life and you can move on. The children of Israel, some of them got left behind. Lot and his family left Sodom and Gomorrah, but his wife got left behind. They moved on. She got left behind. You can go throughout that, through the whole entire Bible. You get into the New Testament. And you know, here that the Jews have been waiting for the Messiah for generations. They believed the Messiah would come, and all of a sudden he came, but didn't come the way they expected him to come. He came as a servant. He was born in a manger, and they just thought he was a man. They were expecting a king that would liberate them from the Roman Empire, and Jesus was here. And you know what? The Pharisees got left behind. He moved on, my friend. They didn't want to believe that he was the Son of God. They didn't want to believe that he was the Messiah. So do you know what? They got stuck in their tradition. They got stuck in a religion. And meanwhile, Jesus came and he had the truth. And when they didn't want to listen, remember the story where he was talking about he was inviting people to the marriage, and when the first people didn't take the invitation? Can you imagine Jesus inviting you to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then you refusing that invitation? Well, people did that. When he said, hey, I want you to go out and you want to tell everybody, you know, about the marriage. And then they say, well, you know, they didn't want to come. And Jesus says, okay, then you go out again. And then he finally says, you go to the halt and to the maimed and to the blind and the sick, and you tell them. You know what he said? They don't want to come. It's okay. I'm moving on. Then you go invite them. And if they don't want to come, it's okay. I'm moving on. You invite them. The Pharisees, they got left behind. The very thing that they were looking for was there. They didn't want to give up their tradition. They didn't give up empty religion when they could have had the truth. Instead, they held on to that. Meanwhile, Jesus said, hey, you know, he went out and he found 12 and he said, listen, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You know what he's saying? I'm not standing here. I got something to do. I'm going to move on. You know what he's saying to you today? He's saying, listen, you can stay back here with your sin. You can stay back here with your problem. You can stay back here with your hurt feelings. You can stay back here with your bitterness. You can stay back here with your unforgiveness. You can stay back here, but I can't live here because I'm going that way. Okay, and I set you free from that. You know, it's kind of sad that when the Bible says that he set us free, that we're free indeed. And we stay there and don't realize that we're set free. And we don't have to be bound to that anymore. We don't have to let it repeat it in our, we don't have to let the things that hurt, sometimes it's things that we can't control. Sometimes it's things in your life that have influenced you, things in your life that you would have maybe done differently, but they have shaped who you are, and you begin to think, hey, there's lonely people out there that are lonely not to their own doing. There are people that are hurt out there today. There are people that things happened to them that when they were a child that they couldn't control. And they tried their best to bury it, but it just seems to come back in their memory. And you know what they do? They live in that every day. And Jesus said, listen, you know, you don't have to stay there. You can move on past that. You don't have to let it hurt you. You don't have to let it control you. Instead, you can come with me to the next day where my mercies are new every morning. And then when that day is done, we can step into the next day. And it's all new again. Let's put it in our past. Let me help you and let you move on. Instead, we can get stuck there. And you know what we do? We drag it into the next day. And then our problems become our kids' problems, and they become our grandkids' problems. Why? Because we won't leave them behind. We won't leave them behind and say, I'd rather go with him. And Jesus says, I don't have time for you to drag that with you. You got to leave it here. Because where I'm going, there's no place for that. You got to let me help you. You got to let me forgive you. You got to let me put it in your past. You got to let me heal that hurt inside of you, or you're going to drag it again into tomorrow. Because that's not where I'm going. I want you to read this, if you would, in Lamentations. In chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies. Let's just start here in verse 1. I'm going to read 22. I want to read a little bit of this because I want to read after 22. It says, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me he turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath built against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. This man's talking, that's why it's called Lamentations. He's talking about a lot of personal hurt. He's talking about his relationship with God. It's not where it needs to be. There is all kinds of pain. You can feel that. And if you had the time, you could read it all the way to verse 20. It's depressing. He's talking about being lonely and being by himself and being under the hand of God's wrath because he didn't do right. And all of a sudden, you come to verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. Why? Because God's moving on. All right? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed.
because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now look at verse 24. Immediately the story changes. The Lord is my portion and my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait. Wait a minute. Read the verses before that. He's talking gloom and doom and feeling the power of oppression on God's hands because he wasn't doing right. And all of a sudden, guess what? God says, hey, I'm moving on. Are you ready to go with me? And then you hit verse 20, and it says, his mercies are new every day. And the whole thing changes. And it's like you got a whole different tune, a whole different song. Immediately, he says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. And you just read it, and all of a sudden, there's this such this attitude change. Why? Because God moved on, and he moved on with him. You know, he's saying, yeah, but I could feel his hand. And Dave said, listen, okay, you repent, you get it right with me, let you leave it there. Let's go on to the next day, and let's do it different. You don't have, listen, God is not going to reach down in your life and take it from you, but you do not have to repeat it. That is your choice. You know, it's, you know, when you're driving, and, you know, you get bored because you're 9 hours in a car, and I don't like driving, you know. But sometimes, have you ever done this? Have you ever in your mind, and I know you're probably going to think I'm a little crazy, but have you ever in your mind thought your family died, but they really didn't die? But you, in your mind, you're thinking about the worst thing that happened, and all of a sudden you're crying for somebody that's still alive because you thought, in your mind, you created the story in your head, and now you're all sad, but they're actually still alive, and you create this whole nother world in your mind, and you don't look at me like I'm nuts. I'm willing to tell you about it, all right? That's the only difference between me and you. And you get to thinking in your head, and you think, that's stupid. They're still alive. Why am I? I mean, I've even thought about when Jonathan was in Afghanistan about what it would be like if he died, but he was alive. And I was sad, but he hadn't died yet. But you think about, oh, you got a phone call and all. And that's stupid how your brain can do that, right? Okay, but you know what your brain can also do? Your brain can also take where you're at, or something that's happened to you, or a sin that you just need to get the victory over. And it can embed that so deep in your mind that you believe in your mind that there's absolutely nothing you can do about it, and you're just going to have to live with it. It can be a hurt that is so deep and so painful, and you just can't let go. And here's what God is saying. God is saying, listen, when I set you free, you are free indeed. He looks back and says, do you understand your chain is undone? What are you standing there for? You can move on. You don't have to let that bind you anymore, because anything that you need, I can be for you. You just have got to come with me. You've got to leave it behind. Let me turn the next page of your life and let's move on. I mean, I look at David. You know what? I look at his life and some of the things he came through. If he can come through, we can come through. If he can leave it behind, we can leave it behind. You talk about some pain in Joseph's life. He was definitely treated in a way that was unfair in a lot of ways. But you know what? He moved on because God moved on. And on that day, when his brothers were standing in front of him, instead of having anger and hatred and malice towards his brothers, you know what he said? He said, listen, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You know why? God already moved on, and Joseph decided to go with him. Amen. That had no more power over his life. It had no more pain, no more hatred over his life. Why? Because Joseph left that back there in the jail cell. When he got out, he moved on with God. And God said, Joseph, I got something for you that is so good. It'll make you forget about the days that you were in the dungeon. It'll make you forget about the time that your brother sold you into slavery. You just got to come with me and move on. And that's what he's saying to us today as the church. Listen, he is going to go on. He is going to move on to the next day and the next day. We can choose to drag it with him, or we can give it to him. It is a very sad thing to look down and realize My chains are done. Now, do we believe what Natalie's saying? We all amen, right? My chains are gone. That I've been set free. And you know, as Jesus says, okay, come on, let's go. And you look back and say, what are you doing? Can you imagine how sad it would be to him to watch us pick those chains back up and try to put them back on again? And he look at you and say, what are you doing? Why do you want to stay here? I'm going there. You don't have to live here anymore because I set you free. Just come with me, but you got to leave it behind. Sometimes the way we act has influence because of the way we've been treated. So then we just drag that on. And because we can't let the bitterness go, we can't let the anger go, we can't let the pain go. We just want to hold on to it. And God's saying, don't do that. Let it go. Because, you know, it'll just drag on. And the next day, you know, Peter, when he denied Christ, he, of course, then he had to meet him again that day, or days after that. So can you imagine the first time Peter had to meet the Lord? You know, after he had that conversation to Peter about, do you love me? You never see him bring it up again. Do you know why? Jesus moved on. You know what you see at Pentecost? Peter preaching, 3,000 people getting saved. Do you know what you see? Jesus moved on and Peter decided to go with him. Isn't that great? You know, the road to Damascus. You got a guy who is persecuting the church. Jesus met him on that road to Damascus, forgave him, got saved, and Jesus said, come on, I'm going that way. And you know what you see with Paul's life? He moved on. You don't think that he ever had nightmares in his mind about the people that he killed? Do you not think that he was ever sorry for the pain that he caused families when they murdered their mom and dad? Well, sure. Well, how in the world do you get a man that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament and has helped me and you in this room tremendously with his writing? How do you get somebody like that? Because Jesus moved on and Paul went with him. Well, here's the question. Tomorrow's a new day. His mercies are new. You can take whatever in your life that's affecting you today, you can leave it here. And you can turn that page and you can walk into a brand new one and leave that there if you choose to do that. And he says, Dave, let's move on. You realize that's what he means about when he says, when I set you free, you are free indeed. You know, because he was the Son of God, he has the right to do that. And he said, Dave, you don't have to be in bond. Remember, I don't want you to think about maybe just all the, you know, it can just be maybe an event that happened in your life that somebody else did to you that still drags you down every day deep. I mean, I've talked to people that something happened to them as far back as 40 years ago, and when they tell you about it, they still cry. When they tell you about it, there's still pain. I've had grown men tell me that before they got saved, they talked their girlfriend into getting an abortion, just all kinds of pain, and you realize he wakes up with that every day because he won't leave it behind. Well, of course it's going to affect us. It's going to affect your joy. It's going to affect your outlook on life. You're going to drag it into every relationship you enter, and it's going to cause problems there. We can put 1,000 names on 1,000 things. The question is this. Your choice. Today you can leave it behind and go where God's going, because there's going to be a day that we're going to enter into his kingdom. And forever it'll be in my past. And then the Bible says that he's going to wipe our tears away and it's gone. Right? That's where he wants to take us, and that's where he's going. You can choose to stay if you want to. May I tell you something? If you're here and you're not saved, understand this, that at any moment and any time, God could come back and he's going to move on. And you can't stop that. You can't go, whoa, wait a minute. Understand, he's coming back as it was in the days of Noah, and he's moving on. And the sad thing is, There are going to be people that sat in church under the sound of the gospel Sunday after Sunday, felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, decided to live one more day, that maybe the next day they'll do it, maybe the next church service they'll do it, and they'll do it. I'm sure that there are people listening to Noah that thought, well, maybe there's some truth to that. They did not act on it. And one day, guess what? The rain came, the ark floated, and it moved on. One day Jesus is coming back. Those that put their faith and trust in him are going to be caught up in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Everybody that did not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ is going to be left behind. Why? Because he's moving on. You know, but we have a chance to go with him if you want to. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the truth that's in it. Lord, thank you for caring about us. Thank you for caring about the curse and what it did to mankind. Thank you for being compassionate to what sin does to us in our own lives, not only our own sin, but the sin of other people that spill over in our lives. Lord, there's all kinds of pain and hurt associated with that, and we like nothing better than to hide it and pretend that we're okay. Really, that's not the case. Lord, a lot of what we go through every day is baggage that we're carrying. And why are we carrying it when we don't have to carry it? It's beyond me. We can just set it down. Lord, we're not going to be able to travel with you where you're going and carry that baggage day in and day out. Lord, you're going to a place where tomorrow is full of forgiveness. Lord, it's full of you healing our heart, you being what we need. Like you told Paul, my grace is sufficient. I don't need to take the thorn away because I can give you a kindness and love that in my grace that overshadows any problem that you have, but you got to leave the rest behind. And Father, I pray that you would help us this morning. Lord, because we're people, and I don't need to know everybody else's problems. I can just know that they're people too. Lord, a lot of our attitudes, a lot of the way we think, a lot of some of the things that we do are shaped because of things that happen to us. And some of them are things that shouldn't happen to us, Lord, but we've let that define us, but we don't have to. Lord, we can move on with you, and I pray that you'd help us to be able to do that. Lord, just like you told your disciples, if they don't want to listen, that's okay. Go on to the next person. And Father, you can tell us, Lord, tomorrow we're going to start a whole new day again. If you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you. And I'm ready to move on to the next day. But if we don't confess our sins and we're stuck in that day, having to relive that all over again. But when you set us free, you said, you're free indeed, Dave, move on. We're the ones that pick the chains back up. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us. Help us to be willing to move on with you. Lord, if there's somebody here that's not saved, Lord, I can't convince anybody. I just pray that you would help them feel the fact that you are going to move on. You are going to wait as long as you can because you're not willing that any should perish. But one day, that trumpet is going to blow. And all of those that put their faith and trust in you are leaving with you. But those that have decided to wait are going to be left behind. But that doesn't have to be the case. Lord, I pray you'd work in their heart this morning. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. If you'd stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. And I think deep down inside of every person in this room, there's something that you'd like to leave behind. I mean, there's probably, there's